Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Virtuous. My name is Milton. I'm really glad that you're here today as we continue in this series called Leading Our Families. Last week, we talked about spiritual leadership in the home. And I used a statistic, a study, if you will, that correlated church attendance with dads going to church and children going to church. And I want to make sure that it's clear that it had nothing to do, it wasn't a message about church attendance. It was just the correlation between if dad goes to church with the family while the children are growing up, there is like an 80% likelihood that the children will continue to go to church even into adulthood, right? That's not being a super spiritual hero. That's just if dad goes to church with the family. Let's stretch a bit. What if dads did more than just come to church with the family? What if dads actually led the family in Bible study and devotion time? What if dads actually took time to pray with and for their families? What if dads actually stepped up and took a stand even when it wasn't popular or lucrative? I'm telling you, the potential is absolutely crazy. It's endless. Okay? Absolutely endless. But before we dive in today, I want to invite you to help me recite our family declaration. You can do that? All right, am I ready? Okay, here we go. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Very good. By the way, I could hear y'all singing. Sounded so good. I love it when the church sings, right? I mean, I love Victoria and Maggie singing up here, don't get me wrong. But when I can hear y'all, and it just resounds, and it just sounds so good. It sounds so good. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read those same verses that we read last week one more time. I think they're important. Ephesians chapter 6, those first four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Today we're going to look at just a couple of principles that I believe have the potential to help us lead our families in a godly way. But before we dive into that, I want to make a statement. I want to say something. After hearing today's message, there may be some that will be like, you know what? I'm going after it. I'm going to be the godly spiritual leader. And it's just not possible. And at the same time, there may be some that will not even consider it. They won't even try to be a godly spiritual leader, even though it is totally possible. Have I got anybody confused yet? Let me explain. There might be some that will say, I'm going to go after this thing. I'm going to be the godly spiritual leader in my home. But it's just not possible, at least at this moment. Because in order to be a godly spiritual leader, you have to be godly. You have to know God. Not just know about God, but actually have a relationship with God. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this whole thing of being a godly spiritual leader will be elusive. And you'll never be able to achieve godly spiritual leadership until you know God, until you have Him in your heart. And so if you're here today without Jesus, don't let another day go by without making Him Savior and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. On the other side of that, there are those who will be maybe apathetic and just let this message sail right over their head. Maybe because you feeling unworthy. Maybe you keep thinking about what a mess you've made of your life in the past. Maybe it's some past sins that keep coming back to haunt you. Maybe you've got children that are growing and grown up and they're not walking with the Lord, and you feel like, I've blown it. Why bother? If you're listening to junk like that, I want to tell you, you're listening to lies straight out of the pits of hell. Because with God, anything is possible. Amen?
Amen.
Tell me, church, what's impossible with God?
Nothing.
Nothing. God can do anything, including making your family new and whole again. But in order for you to experience that freedom and that power, you have to first realize that you've been forgiven. I mean, maybe you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, but you're like, why bother? You've got to realize that you have been set free. You have been forgiven. The Bible talks in the Old Testament how God has separated you from your sin as far as the east is from the west. That he's taken your sin and he's dropped it overboard into the sea of forgetfulness, where he chooses to remember it no more. And if God doesn't bring it up and toss it in your face, why do you keep bringing it up and tossing it in your face? By the way, you are not who the world says you are. You are not who the devil says you are. You are who God says you are. And he says you are wonderfully and fearfully made. He says you are blessed coming in and blessed going out. He says you are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of your testimony. He says you are more than conquerors. He says he has plans to bless you and prosper you, to give you hope in the future. He calls you friend. He calls you child. He loves you with everything he has so much. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for your sin, so that you don't have to live with that guilt. You don't have to pay for your sin. You can be born again. You can be redeemed. You can have that sure hope of spending eternity with Jesus in heaven one day. That's what God says about you. That's how important and wonderful you are to him. Your sins are gone, at least in his eyes. You've got to let it go. You've got to let go of the past so you can embrace the future of what God has for you, to be the man or the woman of God that he has called and created you to be in Christ Jesus. So my prayer for you that may be hearing the message going, I've tried, I've blown it. My prayer for you is that the Holy Spirit would sweep in and just reignite a fresh fire of passion and excitement and power and hope and enthusiasm to step up and step out and be that man or woman of God that he has called and created you to be in Christ Jesus. So let's dive in this morning. Those are I just have two very simple thoughts this morning. And the first one is this, write it down. We need to make spiritual matters the priority in our homes. We need to make spiritual matters. Let's just get pointed. We need to make Jesus Christ the priority in our homes. Not just a priority, because then I think every one of us would raise our hand and say, of course Jesus is a priority in my life. I'm in church today, aren't I? We need to make him the number one priority in our lives. Because I wonder what it would look like if I were to look at your smartphone, or if I were to look at your calendar book, or I were to look at your checkbook. Would it tell a story that Jesus is your number one priority in your life? And if it doesn't, What would it look like? What would it take to change the trajectory of that outlook going forward? What would it take to change the pattern so that next month your calendar, your checkbook, everything about you, you know, what you give your time to, where you go, all those things, that it would reflect very confidently and surely that Jesus is my number one priority. See, I believe that it begins with a personal relationship with Jesus. Right? Like, we talk about, how am I going to be a spiritual leader, a godly spiritual leader for my home and my family? I believe it starts with a personal relationship with Jesus. That you gotta know the author before you can tell his story, right? You've gotta have the Spirit inside of you before you can disciple others. Before we can be effective leaders in our homes, we first must be effective followers of Jesus. That may be the Facebook-worthy quote of the week, by the way, right? So let me say it again. Before we can be effective leaders in our homes, we first must be effective followers of Jesus. We can't take our family somewhere where we're not being led ourselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, if I stand here as your pastor and try to lead you somewhere where I'm not being led myself, you know what you call that? Dumb. You know what else you call it? Hypocritical. I can't lead you somewhere where I'm not being led myself. You can't lead your family somewhere where you're not already being led. Jesus Christ must be the priority, not just a priority. Big, big difference, friends. Big difference. Men, we need to make our family's relationship with Jesus our number one priority. Because I can't tell you how many conversations I've had over the years with parents. They would come up and say, "Oh yeah, my son, he's an animal, man. He's gonna lead his football team to the state playoffs. He's the captain of the hockey team, and over all these things or whatever." Or my daughter, she's tall and athletic. She's a volleyball star, or a basketball star, or a track star. Maybe it's not even sports. Maybe it's academia. Maybe it's band. Maybe it's gymnastics. How many times do we ask our kids, and I want to see it by expression of smiles or not, how many times do we ask our kids, "Is your homework done?" Yeah, right? Or how many times do we encourage our kids to give it their all in extracurricular activities at the school, right? But then my mind wonders, how often do we ask them, "So how's your relationship with Jesus this week? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you talking to God lately?" I mean, I know the peer pressure in school and these friends and the situation, your boyfriend, girlfriend, all this stuff. Are you staying pure? Do we care more about sports and academia and gymnastics and band and chorus and all these things than about their spiritual growth and well-being, eternal security? Do we care more about these things than their spiritual life? Because here's the bottom line. Your little sweetheart, your little boy, they may or may not lead their team to the state championship. They may or may not get a full-ride scholarship to this college or that. But every single one of them and every single one of us will one day stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for how we lived our lives. What matters is the relationship with Jesus Christ. Dads, we have the incredible honor, the incredible privilege, the incredible responsibility of teaching our children the right direction. We need to plan. Listen. Play on words, but think about this. We need to schedule and plan our lives around Jesus. Not schedule and plan Jesus around our lives.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them around your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Do you see it? We are to pour Jesus into our families all the time. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday nights, not just on holidays, not just on special occasions. We are to pour Jesus into our families every moment of every day, at every location. Well, you know, I can't really lead devotions while we're on vacation at the hotel. Why not? Oh, did you forget to pack that thing? Good thing we got smartphones with a Bible on it, right? We are to pour Jesus into them all the time. God wants us to be pouring Jesus into our families. And here's our second thought. We need to pray. Right? We need to pray. And no, I didn't pick pray because it starts with a P, you know, priority in prayer. And I didn't pick pray because you'd think less of me if I didn't think prayer was important. Right? It is important. It's hugely important. We need to pray. Because here's the deal. It's absolutely impossible to effectively lead our families in godly spiritual leadership without prayer. And don't just pray that your kids have a good day, you know. Don't just pray that your wife, you know, that go, please be with my wife, please be with my husband, please be with, you know, don't just pray that they have a good day. Pray that God protects them. Pray that God empowers them. Pray that God gives them wisdom and insight and discernment. And pray that God gives them grace and protection, and pray that God changes them today and makes them more like Jesus than they were yesterday. Pray that God brings them to where they're more like Jesus every moment of every day. And don't just pray for them. Pray with them. Pray with them. Listen, if this sounds foreign to you, please hear me. I understand. But I'm also telling you, there is nothing in the world more powerful, husbands, than grabbing the hands of your wife and praying with her and for her. Right now, your hands are probably sweating thinking about that. Mine are. My wife's 3,000 miles away. I'm telling you, if you even think about praying, grabbing a hold of your wife's hands and praying with her, the devil is going to put about 1,013 reasons into your head why you shouldn't, how you look like an idiot, how you don't know what you're talking about, how it's not worth it, it's a waste of time, all this stuff. Why? Because he knows the incredible, supernatural, amazing power that comes with simply praying with your wife. I'm telling you, it is like one of those things. You're like, what's for supper? Right? I mean, there's so many things, that, so many times that I wanted to like just stop, you know, and just grab her hands and just pray with her. But the devil will throw about 1,000 things at me. You should just be, you know, whatever it is. Telling you, the devil knows how powerful it is. And if you've ever tasted it and experienced it for yourself, of the power of just praying with your family and for your family, you'll know the incredible power and strength and supernatural changes that can take place if you just do that. Don't just pray for your family. Pray with them. Don't let the devil have any victories in your life. Claim all of those victories. If you just, like, even if you doubt me, and if you've never done it before, just go like, preacher said, there's like supernatural, crazy, amazing power in praying. Like, my marriage is really struggling. My kids are wayward. It's like that. You might be like, well, what have I got to lose? A lot. What have you got to gain? A lot. So just try it. Fight against the devil with every more fiber of your being and grab a hold of her hands and just pray. And you know what? You don't have to have a seminary degree, right? You don't have to be biblically astute. All you got to do is just have a little bit of guts and talk to God on behalf of your family, with your family, and watch the devil tremble. God, please help men to lead their families. 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. The President of the United States saying, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. As I close this morning, let me say this. I believe that our church and God's church as a whole needs a spiritual awakening. A spiritual revival, if you will. An awakening of men to step up and step out and become the men of God that He has called and created us to be. Somebody said this morning, you're going to be nice to dads? I said, of course I'm going to be nice to dads. So nice that I want to challenge you with every fiber of my being to step out and do the right thing. Be dads, be husbands, that God will say, thank you, you rock. That's how much I love dads today. I'm not going to sit by and go, it's all right. It's not all right. Our church needs an awakening. Our country needs an awakening. Where's it going to start? It doesn't start in the White House, it starts at your house. Wake up, stand out, be different, be bold, be brave, be courageous. Be the spiritual leaders that God has called and created you to be. Father, in your holy presence, do in and for us and through us what we're unable to do for ourselves. Make us more like Jesus.
You are here mending every heart. I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you.
Even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see that you're working, even when I don't feel that you're working, you never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.